All right. All right, everyone. We are here and recording. We've got Joe and Neil from SB Marketing, who are awesome baby bathwater members that we've been jamming with a bunch through this crazy year, and also are running the advertising for a bunch of people in baby bathwater with e-commerce stores. So they thought it'd be fun to do a little recap after Black Friday and see what worked, what didn't. I know the world, I've heard agencies say that they had the worst year ever. Some said they had the best, but I know you guys crushed quite a few things for folks in the group. So we're excited to kind of get a little recap of that and see what we can learn from it.
Yeah, for sure. Happy to be here. Happy to be here indeed, young man.
Awesome. So I guess maybe starting out of what you guys were running this year, like what products within the group so people know what type of things you were selling. So I know there's a handful of clients that they probably know the products of because they're members of the group.
Yeah. So in the group, who have we got now? We've got Bing with the chair, all 33 chair. So luxury. Chair, right? Yeah, it's like, well, we would define it as a luxury chair.
Hollis, is that looks like one Hollis is sitting on. Is that
one?
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
It's slouch.
Demoed by Hollis. So we've got those. We've got Tyler from Lowbrow. Obviously, they sell motorcycle parts and apparel. We have Ranchlands are in, aren't they? Tess is in. So we have Ranchlands. They sell leather goods. Who else is there now that
was on? Yellow Leaf. I don't know if Yellow Leaf.
Yep. Yellow Leaf, who's obviously been to events. Cool people. Power Plate, obviously friends of Baby Bonafort, not necessarily in it. Anyone else then?
That's the main ones, yeah.
I think they're the main ones. If we've left someone out, that's going to be so awkward.
But you guys are running a bunch of other clients and stuff too. So, but obviously you have a wide variety. It's not like you're just doing this for one niche. So your knowledge of it is pretty broad.
Oh, there's so many different niches and price points and
the main thing that, in all honesty, the main thing that, and there is always a little bit of difference, but the main thing with us is we work with e-commerce brands that have an average order value of over $100. Sometimes with like Lowbrow, that's multiple different products and their, you know, average order value is over hundreds. Obviously with the chair is $800. With some with stuff like Powerplate, it's $3,000 or whatever. But as a rule of thumb, generally it's people with an average order value of over $100, whether that's multiple products or one product. That's kind of the rule of thumb for us, which is kind of the perfect.
And you need that also for margin, right? So that you have enough margin to spend ads on and not just, you know, break even. So, is there anything that stood out that worked better than others? Like, did you have any massive, like, aha moments of things that did really well?
One thing we extend, like, we generally test email collection in before a launch and pretty much every launch that we do for every client. Generally it's in the form of a waiting list or something like that, and then we get people on the waiting list for 6-7 days beforehand, and then on the day of the sale we send an email out to those guys. Obviously we target them and everything else with the offer. What we tested this year for the first time at kind of a relative scale, they're still very small budgets, was giving people a coupon before the automatic discount went live on the site. So it was like, get in now before everyone else gets a chance to, and that just worked. It went insane. From 2K spend, we made over 100K in orders, about 10% of the total Black Friday sales for that company. And it's something that we've now switched to evergreen and is already showing really good signs. For the first kind of 3-4 days, it's been running as an evergreen offer, and it's definitely something that obviously coming up to Q5 sales, or from the 26th up until the new year, is something we're pretty much implementing for most of our clients now, trying to get them on board with that, because it just worked. It worked so insanely well.
So that works, since you're building people up like a pre-launch to a sale,
Like, yeah, but get yeah. so we normally build them up with a pre-launch to a sale, get them on a waiting list, hit them with content, overcome the objections before the sale actually occurs. But this time we got them straight in and gave them an exclusive code, because we much prefer, when running any kind of big offer, that our clients apply an automatic discount to the site, just to make the whole process as smooth as possible. Now we gave them the code to get the same deal just earlier than you'd be able to get it by going onto the website. So there was still that kind of air of exclusivity around it. It wasn't a better deal or anything like that. You just got it while stocks were available. Essentially, you were the first people in, it blew our minds how well that worked.
Yeah, I saw your post, and you guys had sent us an email of how much you were spending and what you were making, folks. You guys want to share just a little bit of that, like, results data?
Yeah, so I mean, from our clients who ran a major Black Friday launch, we spent just over $907,000, and the tracked return was about 6,223,734, which is about
686%.
I was going to say 6.2 million, and then I was like, well, then I'm doing myself out of $23,000. So,
you know. So basically, you generated about $6 million this Black Friday at about a 6-to-1 margin. Pretty fun.
From tracked, but you've got, everyone's different. You look at like Lowbrow, and like they're hopefully Tyler watches this, because we always have discussions about Lowbrow and House, and one of our guys who works in, that's also called Tyler, a little bit confusing, he's like, I just wish that we could shift more products, because they get silly margins. We're talking like 20 for every dollar they get, $20 back. They're just flying, and that's credit to them of how kind of big their brand name is. So it varies across the track, for sure, of people getting, you know, super, super high as well. Someone like Lowbrow, they can just fly. Yeah.
If you can't make a living off a 6-to-1 return with your product margin, something's really wrong. So I think everybody's pretty happy.
Yeah, no, for sure. Good.
So what were some frameworks so people can actually learn? I mean, so that's a little tactic. So how do you guys approach?
So we honestly set 90% of the time, it follows the exact same method across client, no matter the niche, 90% of the time. There's subtle differences. First stage is doing pre-awareness. And we have got a blog on it, which we literally just featured Lowbrow and put all the ads and everything in it. Which will stick in the group. But essentially, if we look at Lowbrow, for example, and the strategy we use with Lowbrow, we use across different brands. Firstly, we do like a kind of sneaky peak awareness type piece of content. For Lowbrow, it's a video, their guys love video, which is kind of teasing people around the fact of there's a sale coming, you know, it's this date it's being launched, and there's a little bit of mystery behind it. So that kind of pre-awareness stage is big. And then from there, we move into the email generation, where this year we obviously tried doing
a little more detail. So pre-awareness, the ad is a pre-aware ad, or is the landing page a pre-aware landing page?
Okay, it's different from client to client. For Lowbrow, what we do is we do a video. So just boosted video. That sells them exactly where they are first, and then phase two straight after that, they go into a landing page, and that landing page is the same. It tells them that they can put their email in to get first access, but it doesn't necessarily scream and shout every single offer that's going to happen. There's always a little bit of mystery around it with Lowbrow, certainly in terms of driving the emails, in terms of getting emails in. So both video one, and then also into a landing page number two.
Got it. So you have an ad that's either a video or, but the ad actually says, hey, pre-sale coming. And then the landing page reiterates that and then tries to collect, hey, do you want to get on this list for when the sale happens? I'm just trying to get some micro.
Yeah. Yeah. Are they putting their email in because they're worried that it might stock out, or like what's the...
Yeah, so generally it's stock out. You could do better sale. You could get, be notified first as soon as the sale goes live. All ones we've tested. But like I said, the get it before the stock runs out is is really the one that that worked best.
Awesome. So that's
because
pre-aware,
especially
calls, creating an ad and creating a landing page.
Yeah, yep. And we run that with pretty much everyone.
Awesome, perfect. Two.
And then phase three is just the stage where we launch it. So when we're launching the Black Friday offer, it's a case of specific ads. And this is where Black Friday is a little bit different to the rest of the time. And when people might have watched our stuff with you guys before, and we're like, have everything about the outcome, etc., where Friday you turn it on your head and it's your time to go down and dirty with your copy. It's your time to go down and dirty with your images. Say what it is, say exactly what they're getting, and make sure that it is super, super simple in terms of how they get the offer, what the offer is, and kind of the benefit to them. So the next phase really is when the sale kind of starts, but it's time to be down and dirty with your marketing. That's the thing where people miss. I think people get a little bit scared about going too salesy, which I understand, but Black Friday is your time to go hard on it.
Black Friday is a time where people are conditioned to look for sales, right? That is what they're looking for. It's the one time you can do it and not harm your brand. And we've spoken, you know, to many clients before in the past or other businesses who are just like, I don't want to run a sale. I want to have this premium brand picture. And you look at any premium brand, right? Or pretty much every premium brand, they're always running sales. They're always running sales on Black Friday and everything else. It's not going to ruin your brand, right? Everyone is preconditioned to look for it. And it's the same with the offer. A lot of business owners we speak to are like, oh, we just want to bundle some free stuff on top of our existing stuff, which, you know, is very low cost for them to produce and a high perceived value that they believe. But especially at times like Black Friday and, you know, and or 4th of July sales, or where people are looking for financial incentives, the last thing you want to do is offer them something that's not a financial incentive, right? Because number one, it's generally too confusing. Number two, it turns them off. You just need to keep it as simple as possible.
So simple.
Give people what they're looking for. And we, you know, a lot of clients always come to us and try and, you know, say they want to run a bundled offer and not give any financial incentive, but give a free this or that with it. And we always try and recommend that, yeah, we can test that, but let's also have a financial incentive running as well, because we always see it outperform.
Yeah, because there's 365 days in the year where you can, or 360 or whatever, that you could be running bundle offers, but this is the one where you just, they want to like find the win that,
exactly.
Oh, they got a bigger discount, and it's like an Easter egg hunt for the best discount.
So let's get more into tactics. So you start with the pre-launch. That's the ad is like, hey, something's coming. Then the next phase, there's a landing page, which maybe gets them on an email list. It says the same thing. Then you announce the sale. Now, are you announcing the sale on the actual ad?
Yeah, so we're announcing everywhere.
And are you retargeting? Like, are you using the data from the pre-launch? How are you using the data from the pre-launch?
So
then we do the actual, hey, there's a sale.
So we recommend everywhere, right? Our whole aim, once that Black Friday sale goes live, is that everyone knows that sale is live. Whenever we're working with a client that we don't do the websites for, we recommend they have banners on top of their website, on every page, announcing the discount. They have call to actions. All of the prices are dropped on their site. The automatic discounts are applied. So number one, anyone who gets to that page knows there's an offer. Number two is, you know, we want to utilize all of the assets that we have available. This is the time to kind of make hay. You've been preparing for it all year. There's many businesses that make their money through this holiday period, and the rest of the year is, you know, yeah, they're making bits and bobs, but, you know, this is where their real kind of time to shine comes in. We want to be leveraging all the email lists. We want to be leveraging any text messages, any, you know, when they had messenger bots, and they actually work properly, you know, messenger bot lists. We want to be utilizing all of these assets, organic assets, and getting them into the offer page or the website. We're also going to be running cold traffic. Obviously, cold traffic is what's really going to provide the volume. We're going to utilize all retargeting. So that is retargeting of everyone who has visited the website, engaged with any of the social media, watched any of the videos, anything like that. We're going to retarget the people who have got onto the list, and obviously we'll also hit them with emails and everything else that we've collected over that pre-launch period. And then we're going to implement checkout retargeting or sales page retargeting for people who get to that sales page and don't convert, to really squeeze as much return on investment out of every single person hitting that page as possible. So really, it's kind of a...
So what I'm hearing is people say, hey, it's Black Friday or Christmas, election season, it's so expensive, don't do it. You're saying, fuck that, damn the torpedoes. This is the time, create a great sale of real value. Fuck it, and just do everything you can, regardless of the cost.
Absolutely, and CPM is there's no doubt about it. CPMs, we have a tracker that tracks the daily CPM for all of our clients as an average, and the CPMs were at unprecedented levels over Black Friday. Like, I think they were like 3 or 4 times higher than last year's Black Friday. They were crazy, but the purchase intent that we drove was so much higher than that of the previous year that we outweighed the CPA, because the cost per conversion is essentially made up of how much you pay per click and how many of those clicks convert, and that's all dependent.
Right, so a lot of click people are shy because the CPM is so much higher. What you're saying is because intent's so much higher, and if you create the right offer, fuck it, don't be scared. And that's why people might be so shy and not taking advantage, because they're not doing it enough, and then therefore they're losing money because they're being pussies about it.
And they're also not making it simple enough. Like, we prefer to go just do an automatic discount across your site. No, we don't, like, for the general big Friday sale, we that's what we prefer, and make it super obvious how you get it, super clear, and just teach people to just literally treat people like toddlers.
But you do have to treat it like anti-logical a little bit, because your cost of ads are higher and you're discounting your product a bunch. And so, but
your cost, all of your cost per impression is higher, but your actual ad costs are not higher because the purchase intent is so high that your CPA, we found our CPAs were way lower than they were outside of Black Friday periods, regardless of the CPM, just because those conversion rates were so much higher. The CTRs were also slightly higher, but
I imagine they're not looking to be educated anymore. So this is also the time to. You're stressing the deal, how to get it cheap. You're not stressing PowerPoint makes you lose weight anymore. You're just like, fuck it. It's how they
We still have those angles in plan. We still test those angles in the copy, but it's much more, it's a much smaller part of the copy. Whereas with outside of these offers and, with our cold campaigns, it's much longer copy. It's all educational and there's much smaller, much less direct call to actions. Now it's completely flipped. So we still got weight loss angles in there and weight loss benefits, or osteoporosis angles and osteoporosis benefits and everything else that goes along with that. And we're testing all the different angles. But what you'll generally find, especially in these periods, is that the scarcity angles work best. The price, where it's just heavily price angled, work best. And, you want to get all of that into every angle, no matter which one it is. And, so it's more of a subtle part than a big driver.
Got it, because their mind is deal for a couple of days. People it's all about marketing and mindset. And so it has to change. And all the rules of like education and that kind of thing is out the window.
From the ads that we would normally do versus Black Friday, the only way you'd explain it is Black Friday is down and dirty. It's just down and dirty.
It's not even a couple of days anymore. It's, we started running campaigns for most clients, and we ran them over a 7 to 10 day period. Some clients we ran longer, some clients we ran shorter, but we found that the perfect period was like 10 days, 7 to 10 days, because you look at everyone was running their purchase, then their offer campaigns early this year. Amazon were doing Black Friday month, everything else, right? And we undoubtedly saw a bigger spike the Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday than we did the other days, but we still saw a massive lift and a massive reduction in CPA for all the other days. So it's like, essentially, if you lengthen your sales time, you have more time for sales. Essentially, it's just an extra day or 3 or 4 days to make money. And just limiting yourself to Black Friday and the Saturday, Sunday, and Cyber Monday doesn't really make sense when there's that money to be made in other sales. And
you're saying grow that window and throw out all of your high touch brand educational logic out for a period of time. Cause there's like like sharks with chum in the water.
Right.
Like all the customers are just crazy and ready to buy, and they're not digging yeah. and shopping. They're just right. ready to buy.
It's mating season, and they're looking to get laid.
Right. Yeah, and you should, you know, if you've done your advertising properly throughout the rest of the year, and you've been doing that education and awareness, and even hitting the cold traffic, and, you know, it's not just a retargeting that's like that. You know, you've done enough education, right? You've got so many people sitting on the fence that all they need is that extra 20% off, 25% offer to move through, and, you know, and make that commitment.
Okay, so what's the now? This might be relevant. So now you've done this big Black Friday, you've cleaned up the decks, right? Now Christmas is coming. What's the strategy? So what's, I think, the most helpful thing for people right now is, okay, so
yeah.
Black Friday, yeah. I think we get it. Now, what do you do now between Black Friday and Christmas?
Again? With, like, for our business, for SV, it's the busiest time of year, because you've got from kind of November through to January, which in a lot of e-commerce stores makes up the biggest percentage of their income. The reason that it's so busy for us, that's the easiest way to explain it, we can go in more granular detail, is you finish Black Friday, and then you've got to change all the offer, and the offer is more about order now to guarantee Christmas delivery. So Christmas delivery is a big part of it. And then once you get to this stage of the year, the 15th to 20th, people start going, okay, well, I can't do it. So then there's a kind of a small pause, and you'll see dip. And then from the 26th to kind of the 1st of January, you've got what's called, like a lot of e-commerce people call it Q5. So you've kind of got the last big sale of the year, which is, we call it in Europe, Boxing Day. We found out that no American knows that term. You call it the day after Christmas. So from the 26th to the 26th to the 1st is another big buyer psychology part where people are looking to buy. About half the size, if you're looking at the data in terms of spend, it's about half the size of Black Friday. So Black Friday in England looks at about a 9 billion spend, where the 26th to the 1st looks at about a 4 billion spend.
So you don't go for the Christmas gift thing. So you're saying there's a lull before Christmas, so there's no shift to, hey,
the Christmas gift thing is from end of Black Friday up until the latest that someone can buy something, so it ships. This year, because, and I don't know how you guys, but our clients across the globe, it's a shorter window because everyone's buying online, so all the delivery services are fucked. So we'd run ads up until like the 21st for people to get delivery pre-Christmas, where now this year it's kind of the 16th, 17th. So as soon as Black Friday finishes up until now, it's all about get the Christmas gift, get it by Christmas. So the lull is from when you can't say get it by Christmas and Christmas is coming, because people aren't, the buying intent isn't as high.
Hold on. So the scarcity isn't the discount. The scarcity is now get it by this date. I'm just trying to get the messaging down. And then you're, it doesn't sound like you're very excited about this period. So it's the gift period, but you've so worn out from Black Friday, it sounds like. And then you got to make a transition for the gifting. Yep. And then you're waiting for the 26th or the 31st, which is the Boxing Day on. You know, New Year's resolutions, people have the Christmas money.
And you'll see, like, some people do holiday sales where they'll do sales in December as well. Like, brands are different. So some people will go straight from Black Friday into a holiday sale that's not as an aggressive sale.
Especially if your product cost is lower, you know, and they're more gifts. You know, that's when utilizing the holiday sale more. We definitely see a lull after Black Friday, but it's all about pivoting the offers, and it very quickly, you know, we don't generally run a discount in the holiday season. We save that until the 26th to the 31st, and we use scarcity to drive the sales through December, give people a rest from the discount over the Black Friday period, and introduce it again the 26th to the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, you know, whenever the client wants to finish running the campaign, essentially.
Got it. So you have like a frenzy buyer on both sides, and then the spot in the middle where the discount doesn't matter. It matters that they're going to get it in time because they want to get this gift for this person, and that's
the pressure. Yeah, it's the gift shopper.
And then what do you do after all that? Because you guys just did, like, you know, this whole year, but it seems like all the crazy work happens in these two little windows, and then how do people transition out of that and keep the gas on?
So then from January, and a good thing that I think is to do, if I had an e-commerce store, is I'd always break down my revenue by month. because that way people that expect to do, you know, 1.2 million and do 100 grand every single month, that's not how it works in e-commerce. So first thing is break down and understand when your highs and lows are going to be. That's really important, that people make a mistake all the time. They say they want to hit 1.2 and they expect to do 100 grand a month, and it's not that way. But it really, that then it's from January onwards, it depends on the product. If you're looking at PowerPlate, from January, it's all about that this year it's all going to be around, you know, the fact that you're at home, maybe you're not going to the gym, maybe there's a lockdown, you know, the whole January get fit, drop a dress size type angle. So for them, January is, you're then looking at the products by what is associated with the time of year for them. So it then turns more onto about, okay, it's not now kind of a strategy across all clients that is very similar, that we tailor the messaging. It's now product to product. Is it every single product is now different depending on when their high times of years and low times of years are, and what's going on in the world that's related to their product as well.
Got it. So you just have to understand the cyclical nature of these buyers, and it's very clear that there's these things, but it would be fun to see if there's ways to recreate these spikes and take knowledge of this.
There undoubtedly is. You've got 4th of July, you've got spring sales, you've got Labor Day sales, we saw the big one. There's many events that you can utilize.
It's always a seesaw, isn't it, of how often a brand wants to put on a sale. And that's always a seesaw.
And the thing that most people don't do after these campaigns is, because you're in such a short time window, right? There's generally not a huge amount of kind of optimization or anything else that necessarily goes on, unless you're like, I mean, I was checking our accounts every 30 minutes over Black Friday, trying to, especially because most of our stuff is performance based, we're trying to pull as much return on ad spend out of everything as we possibly could. But they don't kind of look at really what worked for, you know, the Black Friday, let's say, and move it to the spring or the 4th of July sale and understand what happened. Now, we built an analyst team in-house who just pull out everything from that sale in a big report for the clients, so that they can see exactly what worked, what kind of angle worked the best, what kind of medium worked the best, what kind of copy length worked the best, and what kind of, you know, bidding strategy worked the best, campaign type, and pull all of that, so that when we hit the next sale that we've got, the Q5 sale between the 26th and the 1st, when we hit 4th of July, when we hit Labor Day, when we hit all of these other sales, we're building up this database of knowledge that we're not essentially starting from scratch like most people do, sale after sale after sale. We're always learning and always understanding what is working best for that client, so we can kind of hit the ground running as soon as that sale comes along.
Makes sense. And then obviously you have to nurture these people too and not waste the massive audience growth you had,
right,
in between your different kind of buying frenzies, right? And so then you go into more of like a nurture mode in between those while you build out offers and get ready for sprints.
You want, obviously, if you can make evergreen sales throughout, and a lot of brands do and can, but you got to realize that a lot of times lowbrow is an anomaly within this where they can just make money all the time. A lot of time you'll see peaks and troughs when it is buying psychology is higher, whatever that trigger is for buying psychology, whether it's a global pandemic, whether it's an election, whether it's an offer and a sale or a seasonal promotion.
And the nurture system and nurturing, you know, and building your audience throughout the year. One of my favorite sayings that we try and live by is audience is a currency, right? And building that is where more like our ecosystem methodology comes into play for the 360 other days of the year that you're not kind of making a big push. And it's all about educating your client, delivering value, more value to them than, you know, than the perceived value is worth of the eventual product. So building those audiences, getting that content out, getting that awareness out, getting in front of their mind, exactly, moving people through the multiple different stages of buyer intent until they do buy. And that obviously amplifies your sale when you do get the sale, because you've got people at all stages of the kind of of the buying process who just need that, who need that extra kick to make the jump and buy the product.
Where and how are you delivering that kind of content?
So it's, I mean, it, essentially, I mean, the best way when you push this recording, maybe link to the ecosystem thing we did that for you guys walking through it in detail. But essentially with most clients, varies on product price point and niche and everything else. But essentially we've got a lot of video awareness content going out. We call it signaling content. We use it to send to cold audiences and let anyone kind of self-identify that they're vaguely interested in the video, the product, whatever it is. So it's just grabbing that initial attention. Once we've got that initial attention, we're then retargeting them. Again, if it's a low price point, it might be direct to sale. If it's a high price point, it might be into an email collection, which might be, you know, a webinar, which then sells the high price point. It might be into a mini challenge, which might sell the high price point. It might be into an email collection offer, which, you know, which then moves them into the high price point. But we kind of break it down into stages of commitment, where stage one is like the, you know, the watching of a 10-second video, right? Very, very low commitment. Blog is stage two, still low commitment, but you haven't, you know, it's a little bit more than a video. So someone's a little bit more committed than the video. Stage three is like when you're grabbing their email, when you're getting their email. Stage four is getting them to either a product view page or a checkout page. And stage five is the purchase. And we're trying to, you know, we'll be running cold traffic to pretty much every stage and retargeting from every stage and segmentation at every stage, just trying to identify what angles are working best, what cold traffic entry routes are working best. Like for some clients, it might be better just to run cold traffic direct to sale instead of retargeting from the video. So because you've got the video content cost and then the retargeting cost, you know, it might seem like it's a cheaper CPA, but it might not actually be when you include the content cost. So it's just working out where is the best route to kind of start people off. And how is the best way to move them from stage two to stage five or stage three to stage five? And throughout that, obviously, you know, the ecosystem slideshow we did for you guys will probably walk people through.
Yeah, yeah. No, that makes sense. So one thing I'm thinking about is more people have brands and are running them and thinking about a million things, where you guys are running the agency, just driving sales, right? It's obviously a two-way street. Is there anything that people have done that made it really hard for you to do your job well, or anything that made your job really easy?
Everyone.
Yeah.
Like I guess the question really is the mistakes that people make when we work for them. A big mistake people make is they hire us and they think, oh, we're done. Like our sales are now just going to come in, and there's no support around other parts that aren't just paid media, such as email marketing, such as great content, such as pulling different areas of traffic into the ecosystem that then can be retargeted, PR, influencers, or whatever it may be. The thing that's becoming super important in any ads is the content and the imagery and stuff like that. So for all our clients, we create imagery and stuff, but we can only create images that they give us, if that makes sense. So we can't go and, you know, make a picture of the product out of thin air. So where people kind of, it does work, or there's always that kind of phase, that hurdle you have to get over, is normally around the fact they sit back, or their content from an ads perspective of images that we're running, etc., aren't good enough, or video content isn't good enough. And when we say video content isn't good enough, that categorically does not mean you have to get a whole production through it. Like we did a very clear test with one client who spent a fortune, I think it was like 20 grand or something, or even more, 60 grand on a commercial. And we were with him in Texas at the time, and we shot some stuff on like an iPhone, and the stuff on the iPhone converted better. So it's not, when we say better content, it doesn't mean higher quality produced. It means relatable stuff. And for example, it does depend on the products, but shooting on an iPhone is a lot of times more relatable. And that's why you can have fantastic content, which is one thing, but if you have fantastic content that is user generated, that's always performs better, we find as well. So user generated content is 99%.
If you're a brand working with an agency, don't just go back on your heels and think they're going to tell you everything to do. The best thing to do is be, you guys probably prefer proactive people. Like, hey, I've got an idea. Yeah. Hey, we shot this thing.
You're just always gaining momentum. And
it should be a collaborative process.
Yeah. Of just gaining momentum. The thing which often people make a mistake that I see is they'll go to someone like us when they're at rock bottom. It's like, oh, we had a great year last year. Now everything's falling apart. We need help. And we're like, that's cool. We can help you. But it's so much easier when people like Lowbrow come to us who are on the rise, and then they hire when they're on the rise, because all we're looking to do is gain momentum and then carry on momentum. And that's just like for the mindset of the whole entire team that's involved, that's our team, that's their team. It's so much better if you're hiring someone, don't go, oh, things are going really well now. I'm not going to get you know, someone's at my paid media or my content or whatever. Do it whilst you're on the way up, because it's so much more, it's so much easier then for someone like us to get even better results and also put insurance policies in that stop the fall off.
Makes perfect sense. Don't be a shitty client. Don't just assume things are going to happen without doing anything. And are often any of these people running their own campaigns too, or they completely just let you have all the reins, or they compete?
We do all the reins. We don't, even with PowerPlay, if we had to say stop running your own campaigns, if you do it, I'll break your fingers was the words I think we used, which Habib liked. So we like to do it all for the pure reason that we don't want stuff that's conflicting coming out of it and et cetera, et cetera. So, the way that we personally work is if someone is desperate to test a certain type of angle or a certain type of audience, tell us. We work for you. So tell us what you want to test. We'll advise you whether we think it's a good test or not. But the data, all that our best quality is looking at data and interpreting it into human psychology. That's it. So if someone's desperate to do a test and we think it's a no, we'll go, we think this is a no, but to stop you doing it yourself in your own ad account so you can sleep at night, let's go and do it. Let's set it up and then let the data tell us what to do.
Great. No, this is good, because the essential highlight is there is a buying frenzy time. It's more about the customers are in this crazy frenzy. I think a lot of us forget that because we run the companies and we buy things in different ways, where the masses spend a shitload of money in these little windows of time, and you really need to do the prep work and be ready, even though these signals might come up of like, oh, the ad spend is higher, or the, price is discounted, and you need to get over that because people are like chummed up in the water and they're like crazy sharks just ready to buy.
Yeah. The biggest thing that everyone in baby bathwater needs to remember is that, obviously, depending on niche, if you're selling B2C, the consumers aren't marketers. If you own your business, you're a marketer. So remember that your consumer is, I remember speaking to someone in Croatia. He was like, no, I don't do anything in terms of offers on checkout retargeting, because I always go onto a website, I put it in my basket, I then wait and then get the discount. I said, yeah, you do that because you're a marketer, you're not because you're a civilian or whatever you want to call it. So, always remember the psychology of the consumer, not the psychology of yourself.
It's funny, I do that exact same thing. I put it in the cart and if you don't have the balls to follow up with me and give me a discount, I probably won't buy it. Like that is my checkout process.
I always wait for the checkout discount.
So that's the important thing to remember, because you guys obviously drove a shitload of sales and saw the numbers over that period. And it was just keep it simple, push it hard, and then go back to nurturing until the next push. If you fall price points and consumer markets that matter for this.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things, and it's hard to do on a if you're pushing stuff on a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday and Monday, or harder to do than if you're pushing things over 7 days or 8 days or 10 days. But it's very important to be proactive and quick to react when you're seeing something's working well. I was in the pretty much all of our major accounts every 30 minutes to an hour, just keeping an eye on everything that was working well. And as soon as we identified that it was really kind of pushing ahead, getting a good CPA or a good return on ad spend, we were scaling it. We were utilizing, horizontal campaign scaling, ad set scaling, introducing new audiences to get those creatives to increasing spend, slowly, building new best performing CBO campaigns, pivoting on what the best performing creatives are. So we got new creatives in that were based on the new creatives. And that allowed us to kind of push 4 or 5 times what we originally budgeted for the Black Friday push without losing pretty much anything on the return on ad spend. So now we're in these times of buyer frenzies are the times that, you know, that you want to be able to scale hard, because the return on ad spend doesn't drop as much as it would in a kind of normal time. Like we hit internal Facebook spend caps on like 3 or 4 of our clients, had to get them removed quickly and then push more, get them removed again, you know, just because we were scaling so hard over that time period. Because obviously the more you spend, a decent return on ad spend, the more you make.
It all makes sense. And yep. So now it's get ready for, and so when is the next push that you guys see coming down the pipe? Obviously you have this Q5 e-commerce time. What's the next big thing that people could be spending time prepping for, having on their radar?
For certain niches, it's new year. It's like,
so, it's new year can be big. But it really depends on product and consumer base. And this is where it comes back to understanding your consumer. It's like, if you know you're pushing something around summer, then start doing the warming up sequence now in terms of, you know, whatever it is. If something's only relevant to buy in July, it's still a relevant time to push now, but your messaging has to overcome the obstacle of why would they only wait till July to get it. So it's new year can be big for a lot of people, but you have to understand now it's down to product and consumer base.
And I think that's a big thing you touched on there, Hollis, because Black Friday for us in previous years, you know, this has been our most successful Black Friday by a significant margin. And Black Friday most years absolutely kills us and kills our team. And this year, it was busy and stressful, of course, because it's our busiest time of the year, but it wasn't destroying us. And that's because we got ahead of everything super early. We kind of finalized what the offers were of our clients at the beginning of October, started internally timelining every single action point. By the end of October, we had all creatives done by kind of early November. Ads were uploaded and kind of ready to go like 2 weeks before. So we made sure that absolutely everything, as much as possible, was timelined in, we had all the information that we needed. We chased the clients to get the information. We had all our discussions. We had our backup offers in place because, again, you know, you don't want to be, especially at a time like this, this happened to us last week, actually. One of our clients is doing a holiday sale because his average order value is much lower. And he did an extended Black Friday up until the 7th of December, then wanted to test a bundle offer. And I said to our internal team, that's cool, we'll test it, but let's get a backup offer, like creatives, copy, everything ready to go. Should that not work? We got to like day 4 of the new offer. So it was like the 11th of December, which is what, 4 days ago, 4 or 5 days ago. And it just wasn't performing anywhere near as well as the extended Black Friday. So we quickly pivoted, got the team on, turned it around, and now it's performing great again. So, you know, in a time where you don't have that much window, you don't want to be reliant necessarily on just one offer. You've got to be quick to react. So you've got to be able to prep. Make sure you've got all of your, I hate the saying ducks in a row, but I'll use it. You make sure you've got all your ducks in a row, everything timelined, everyone knows what they're doing. And that was without a doubt one of the reasons why this was our best Black Friday.
It all makes so sense. It goes back to kind of what you guys were talking about, understanding the cyclical nature of the buyers and being prepped. So when you have those nurture sequences, you can kind of recover and maintain and have those set up, but be ready and building other offers, not for every single day in real time, but building them out, looking at your calendar and knowing that you're not going to make the same amount of sales every single month, every time, and getting those
prospects. And you can, I mean, there's national days and national weeks for pretty much anything you can think of. You know, one of our clients, you know, is in education for doctors. There's loads of stuff, you know, specifically for doctors that we're going to be running offers for throughout the year. We had the day with him, it was like Monday, yesterday, wasn't it?
Monday.
Joe, we were planning out his year with him. You know, and we're looking at all of these days. it's not just doctors he runs education for, but we're going to segment and create separate doctor landing pages, separate doctor ads specifically for this kind of niche. So there's loads of calendars online giving you when these national holidays are and everything else, and essentially go through and pick the ones that you think are going to best resonate with the audience.
You've also got to understand, like, for him, he's a big, like, kind of a global brand in his world. So you've also got certain holidays that are fine to push in certain locations, but they would make zero sense in others. So the buying behavior in, you know, X country is going to be huge, so then let's tailor it around to there. But it'd be stupid to run that offer site-wide necessarily, because the 75% more of his audience that aren't from this certain region, it makes no sense to. So you also can look into terms of regional data to understand where you can run significant offers to, and that's the time where you wouldn't necessarily do it site-wide, but you'd have specific sales paths for specific regions from that.
Great. No, I love it. There's really not too many tactical details, because the way it worked is just understanding the psychology changes with the time of the year and being ready for that. And it's really not too more complicated than that. And people probably are trying to do stuff based off their team's calendar, not their customer's calendar. And that's where they're kind of screwing up.
Yep. The biggest thing we've learned over the years of running ads is, of course, you know, you can talk about the intrinsic side of how you're setting up ads and how you're optimizing ads, etc., of course. But in terms of offer and the funnel, if you will, and the copy, keep it simple. Simplicity is,
that's the most important thing. As long as you're doing the basics right on ads, scaling is a bit different, but as long as you're doing the basics on ads, you'll get results. As long as you're setting it up to be optimized, like your Facebook ads to be optimized for a purchase objective rather than awareness or link clicks or something like that. You know, as long as you're doing the basics and you've got the offer nailed and the creatives half nailed, you should be getting results.
There's an argument within that of saying, if you are doing the bare basics on a small budget and you're not seeing something positive, should you be running ads yet? There's also that whole conundrum. You know, it's not right for everyone to run ads all the time. It's not right for certain brands to start ads just about yet. So if you're not, it doesn't have to be a return on investment, although that normally is the most important, but if you're not seeing any positive signs from doing the basics, the bare basics on a small budget in ads, then, you know, is the product ready to run ads?
No, makes perfect sense. Well, sweet. Thanks.
We're good.
Yeah,
pay attention to context is what I'm hearing, and find events and pay attention to the world around you. Your product isn't in a vacuum, so things happen in the world all around you, and there's events, and pay attention to context regionally and use those to your advantage is what I'm hearing.
Big time. Yeah, and what's happening in the world. I mean, you look at the pandemic and look at people who set up a business. I was reading something the other day, someone set up a business. Sure, it's all dodgy, but he set up a business like when the pandemic first started, and he made something like 60 million from PPE because he just pandemic, I got the contact, set it up. And you literally go and look at like the data of when he registered the business and, you know, ended up getting 60 million contracts or whatever. So it's about what is going on in the consumer's lives, not what's going on your lives on a perfect piece of paper.
Right. And a lot of people who are in this space are following other internet marketing people and seeing little things that get them excited that have nothing to do with the consumer's life and have to do with this cool new checkout tool or this headline.
Yeah, which are cool, which are awesome. And we're all for that. Like we geek out over those things, but let's get the fucking basics first. Yeah. Because that's okay, cool. I can take a conversion up by 1 or 2%. They become super important at scale. Super, super important. But if we're just trying to get to, 20-30K spend a month, let's just get the basics in line. And if, a cool little checkout tool is not going to change the world necessarily. It should just increase where you are, not be the game changer.
Love it.
I love it. This is sweet.
Awesome.
So I'll start paying attention to the world now. Now I have a reason to.